Welcome back to the Buffer Podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, we are here for you each and every week talking about the latest and greatest in the world of content, from movies to TV shows and docuseries to music sometimes, and maybe a few more surprises. We're so happy that you're with us. My name is Tony Tone.
I'm Joel Krausar. It's hot, Tony.
Big week for us. Big hot week, Joel. It's hot. It's humid. The heat index where we are in Iowa was like 111.
Yeah.
And that's gross. It shouldn't feel like you're walking into a sauna or a steam room at 6 p.m. But we have to keep this into perspective because we're like less than 4 to 6 months away from having potential 30 degree below weather and snow. So that's what we live with in Iowa.
Yeah, I'm all in. Whatever. I didn't have to be outside coaching baseball this week, so that was kind of good. But I've got other stuff to talk about being outside, though. My dress socks and Crocs. I don't want to step on that.
Oh, boy. I will say I was thankful that when my family and I stopped by the Field of Dreams this past Sunday in Dyersville, Iowa, it wasn't as hot as it was today, because I would not have stopped, because that would have just been disgusting. I briefly, and as fast as I can, just want to mention a couple of things that are getting released into the world of streaming content, since that's what we talk about here on the Buffer Podcast, available on Apple, Spotify, Anchor.fm, wherever you get your podcasts. We're there. Rate, review, and subscribe. So July 29th, you've got Resort to Love on Netflix. Friday, July 30th, The Exchange, The Green Knight, Jungle Cruise, 9 Days, Stillwater. And then next week, a big one. So Jungle Cruise is probably one of the biggest for this week. Next week, Joel, we're both excited, and we are going to plan on seeing The Suicide Squad. Excited, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And then the week after that, Ryan Reynolds. This is going to be an interesting week. This August 13th. You've got Ryan Reynolds with Free Guy competing against a sequel to Don't Breathe, Don't Breathe 2, which was very good, the first one. And then how about a Tom Hanks kind of a sleeper? At least I still haven't seen a trailer for Bios. But Tom Hanks movie, it's usually a success, Joel.
Well, right? Unless it's the, what was the one that he was like that he did with the Coen, was it the Coen brothers? The,
An unsuccessful Tom Hanks movie?
It was like the...
What?
Gosh, well, I can't remember. It has a stupid, interesting name. It's like the Widowmakers or something like that.
I know it's not Saving Mr. Banks, because my wife was trying to get me to watch that the other day and I was not into it. So I apologize to all the Saving Mr. Banks movies. Are you referring to the Lady Killers?
The Lady Killers, yes.
With Coen Brothers?
Yes.
And Tom Hanks?
Yes, that's what I was referring to. I think I called it the Widowmakers.
Not
but, I could see the seersucker suit that he wears, but I couldn't see the title of the movie.
So this week on the Buffer Podcast, we have the kind of culmination, if you will, of our July winners, and we're going to put them all, we would typically try and battle them out and oftentimes have a third party guest to kind of make the decision, but Joel has... Well, friends, Joel has said you can take your July winners and shove it, because he thinks he's got something that is worth crowning. This could be the shortest episode of the Buffer Podcast ever, because Joel, you claim that this piece of content is hot off the presses. It's new and it's apparently the best thing that's come out in the month of July. But you've even gone as far as saying maybe the favorite thing you've seen this year.
Yeah, it's in there. It's in that conversation. The content that is overtaking in my mind is F9, White Lotus, which White Lotus is outstanding. It's appointment television for me. I can't wait for Sunday evenings on HBO to watch White Lotus. The Fear Street series, which is great, but I don't think it holds a candle to what I'm going to present. And Black Widow, which was going to probably be my favorite but prior to 2 days ago, I was, it was going to be Black Widow and White Lotus were going to be the two that I was going to bang the drum for to be in the finals to win the month of July. But then I saw on HBO Max from Ringer Films the documentary Woodstock 99, Peace, Love, and Rage. It ended with, you know, carnage. There was it was a well-run festival, I don't know. But I was really, really just enthralled by this documentary. I was 18 years old in 1999. I turned 18 in December of 1999. I was a freshman in college, you know, in August of 2000. And so about a year after that festival happened was when I was like the same age of the target demographic. So I had the Limp Bizkit albums. I had the Red Hot Chili Peppers albums. Every band that was there, I think I remember seeing the bill for Woodstock 99 and thinking, man, that would have been sweet to go to that. And but then I also was in a myopic tunnel vision world enough in 1999. That was my senior year of high school. I'm trying to get recruited to play football. I'm not on the internet yet, really. Like, I only use the internet LexisNexis to research like papers and stuff.
Sure.
So I didn't have the awareness of kind of how interesting that festival was. And this documentary kind of blew the doors off. And I'm going to kind of give a spoiler alert and trigger warning here a little bit. This documentary really does touch into some of the what was now been described as rape culture, and there's a heavy plot line of sexual assault throughout this documentary, because unfortunately that was a prevalent through piece, it sounds like, of this festival. But going all the way back to Woodstock 69, then Woodstock 94, there really was a track record of this festival being, you know, an absolute success. But for some reason, the 1999 version didn't work. And it has a lot to do, I think, with maybe how they targeted who they wanted the audience to be, which was angry, white, middle class people.
You know? Yeah, I think, you know, if they certainly, so there's this, and I watched this, by the way, because I was 15 going on 16.
Well, you're a music head, too. That's like, you're a huge music historian.
And I'll reference having attended a first year large scale festival in a moment. But I have a lot of issues with this. It's not that, I don't know if I have issues with this documentary. I have issues with the fact that the organizers of all these Woodstocks have no, seemingly no remorse. Don't think it was a big deal, both in 1999 and now, all these years later. They make it
pretty
clear.
You broke up a little bit there. Sorry, we had a little technical difficulty. Oh. You said they have no remorse. I think that's the last thing I heard.
Yeah, the Woodstock organizers in this documentary, and I don't remember their names, but I'm not really impressed with their lack of empathy. They still were kind of very dismissive of the events that unfolded, which were documented and reported as so. They made it pretty clear, though, that Woodstock 99 was kind of built off the backs of what was relevant, prevalent, popular, courtesy of MTV. So, yeah, at that time, Kid Rock was huge. Limp Bizkit was huge. Red Hot Chili Peppers were still in the lexicon. Korn, Metallica, Megadeth. So, yeah, I mean, you know, when you build
Creed,
a festival.
Don't forget Creed.
Right. Who I've seen live in concert because my friend Bob was a big fan.
So, okay. Wow. We make fun of Creed a lot. Our age group does. But every single one of us has a story where we actually liked the song. There was a time in our life where we liked something by Creed because it was cool to like Creed. And we've soured on them as we've gotten older. And it's been really fun to mock Scott Stapp's singing style, but I love it was a phenomenon.
I love the acoustic version of With Arms Wide Open. I saw him in concert, and I was excited when their song, I believe it's What If, appeared on the Scream 3 soundtrack.
Yeah. I mean, so, that music was very time and place. That was late 90s, early 2000s rock and roll. You had Sum 41, you had Limp Bizkit, you had Kid Rock. I mean, Kid Rock was a huge phenomenon. And I wasn't as plugged into that, I think, because of just, like I said, the age I was, is I was not going to concerts because I was trying to, you know, get recruited, like I said, to play football and baseball and stuff. So I all of my time was spent, you know, in activities. And so this, seeing this festival kind of outlined, there wasn't a day though that I didn't walk into a weight room at Muscatine High School, and there wasn't the radio edit of Give Me Something to Break by Limp Bizkit and Metallica, right. You know, Enter Sandman, like all of that stuff. That was the soundtrack of my high school life. And I did think it was interesting how they said, it's interesting how whenever something goes south, they blame art for some reason. So like Columbine happens and it's, you know, it's Korn, it's these music, it's MTV,
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. It's all of these different musicians. But when you look at the footage, Fred Durst was trying to incite a riot at Woodstock 99. He wanted it to get nuts, and Chili Peppers were playing while the One East stage was burning.
Right.
And they come out and they play Jimi Hendrix Fire as their encore. It's like
unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean,
is Flea naked the whole time?
I think he was naked the whole time.
And by the way, full disclosure to Joel's point, like a lot of nudity in Woodstock 99.
Right.
And, well, I guess when I think about this Woodstock 99 competing against everything in the month of July that we've talked about. So I wonder, because while this documentary is almost like multiple, it's trying to do multiple things. So it's chronicling what really happened at an event through the eyes of people that were there, the musicians that were there, the security guards that were there, the organizers, the media. But then it's also, this isn't a hot take from me. This is kind of like, it's sort of showing the path to maybe angry, again, this is what they're alleging, angry white men being easily influenced, and then what happens. So like, and I'm not saying that that's true or not true, it just, like, I like Bill Simmons with The Ringer, I appreciate their content, but I wonder if this documentary was trying to say something. And obviously there's parallels to things that are going on in our society today, and I'm not saying that I don't appreciate that, I just don't know, like, I came into this, let me say it like this, I came into this Woodstock documentary thinking it was going to chronicle what happened, who was there, stories that were maybe never told, and that was kind of going to be it. So I just don't know how to process my thoughts on, like, because I am a 37-year-old white man, I've never would describe myself as angry, and I certainly maybe don't lean the way that they're maybe inferring that some of these people do or do not. But does that make any sense, my take?
Yeah,
like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Like, I don't know that they were drawing.
I'm not going to defend it.
I'm not saying that they were drawing parallels to maybe like the Proud Boys and some of those things that are prevalent now in our current society. I think that if there's connective tissue, then that just is what it is. I mean, if you can kind of connect dots, then there may be some overlap. But I really think what I interpreted this as. So here is a festival from 1969 that I remember my parents talking about. I mean, my dad would have been 14 in 1969. My mom was 13. And I just remember my dad talking about the news. I mean, he had a older brother who was right around this. He would have been 21, 22 in 1969. So, I mean, I just remember hearing, you know, stories, because it was covered by the news. It was, you know, the hippie generation, whatever, and the whole peace, love, all that. And I think that was the branding of Woodstock 99 was, or Woodstock, is that it's this free thinking, you know, festival. And then because of the fall of the American military infrastructure, this facility of this abandoned Air Force base becomes available, and that's where they throw the 99 festival. So it's kind of counterintuitive, you know, of this peaceful music art festival people that we're going to throw it into an Air Force base that's surrounded by a peace wall, that they called it. They have to pay admission to get in. I mean, the reason that they did it there is because it guaranteed you couldn't have people sneak in, you know, which the first Woodstock, I mean, they never anticipated having. There was a really good movie, and it's been a long time since I've seen it, but it had Dimitri Martin in it, and it was basically about the first Woodstock.
Yeah, I remember that.
I enjoyed that movie, but this was like just the antithesis of the 1969 festival, with the exception of, it wasn't even with the exception of. Now you have $4 water. You've got all the commercialism that's going along with it. People are camping in this place. They don't have enough clean water. It's hotter than hell. They're on concrete, blacktop, tarmacs. You know, people are getting heat exhaustion, hyperthermia. You know, what did you think of the through line of the two guys who went together and the one guy kept a journal? And they use that as a storytelling. I thought from a filmmaking perspective, that was a really smart way to tell a story.
And spoiler alert, the guy with the journal dies.
Yeah, in the Metallica mosh pit.
Right. There's no denying that this is very well done. It is speaking directly to people our age. Again, I was 15, you were 18.
And there's a big difference between being 15 and 18 too. Like I think,
and if anything, like the nostalgia for the 90s has never been higher. And certainly that makes sense. I guess my question to you is, like, what about Woodstock 99, I don't want to get the title wrong, Peace, Love, and Rage on HBO Max. What about that to you makes it so, like, are you saying the sum total of this piece is just so great you can't miss it?
I want to sit down with every single group of friends that I have and watch it with them. I mean, that's my evaluation of it. Like, it's something that I've watched it twice already. I want to watch it again. I watched it by myself. I had my wife watch it with me. I want my parents to watch it because I'm curious to hear their perspective, you know, having literally lived through all of the Woodstocks and to get their understanding of it. My friends who we all had the red Yankee baseball cap that we turned backwards in 1999 is because we thought Fred Durst was cool. Like, I'm just saying that's why. Like, it just triggered all of this, like, flashback of, I loved how Moby was like, we just got to get out of here, man. This isn't us. This isn't our scene.
Jewel
has to go on the day after the fire. It's like, why? Who programs Jewel? nothing to slight her. That's actually, she's one of the best concerts I've ever been to live. I mean, it's just like, there was just such a weird mix. Like, and then there's the cringeworthy moment of, like, Dave Matthews talking about, you know, exposed women. Like, it's just, I mean, and the thing is it's like, I don't know that.
Yeah.
It's amazing how far we've come in 21 years as far as, I went to a lot of concerts in my life and saw a lot of, you know, flashing of the stage and people, you know, body surfing and stuff. Never once did I have the instinct to cop a feel and get a cheap feel in. And that sounds like that was a huge part of what was going on at this festival. And I think that's alarming. And I think that's one of the things that's kind of drawn me to this is I was in a fraternity in 2000 through 2006. Like, I was around it, but I don't know that I saw it. And maybe it's just because I wasn't predisposed to think about it. And I'm wondering, I'm like backtracking. I'm like, did I miss something? Could I have, you know, stopped something from happening?
Yeah, it's interesting. So in 1999, like October of 99, I went to my first Fish concert. So I was both the product of TRL and MTV and music videos and VH1.
I was on TRL in 1997. Nice. We were in New York for a choir trip, and we were in the crowd. Good. And two of my friends got called up like into the studio, and we,
yeah. And there's so much nostalgia for that, like Carson Daly, whatever. But Dave Holmes is somebody that I always liked a lot.
I really wish we had Mike Bridenstine on, and hopefully we can get him on to talk about this, because he actually had Dave Holmes on his podcast a couple weeks ago, like
multiple times.
Yeah, yeah. And when I saw it, I texted him. I'm like, I can't believe. I would love to talk to Dave Holmes in depth about a lot of this stuff. And we got to hear those people's perspective. I love them calling Kurt Loder a war journalist, by the way. That was actually kind of funny, because I think it was somewhat accurate. But
yeah, I think Kurt was a little, yeah, I mean, it's hard to not sensationalize something that is literally on fire and sensational. But yeah, so I want to just mention that again, like, I enjoyed this, but I don't know if I feel the same way about it being as good enough to defeat everything from the month. And just to recap, the winners from July. So F9, I think, was in June.
It was the last weekend of June, so I kind of lumped it in. But we could disqualify.
Wasn't it the June winner? Didn't it win June?
Maybe it did. Then we did
the super spectacular 4th of July show.
That's right.
So you're talking about Black Widow, Fear Street, Part 1, 1994. Speaking of nostalgia, How to Become a Tyrant. All going up against Woodstock 99, Peace, Love, and
Black
Rage.
Widow.
And Black Widow. I want to mention, I attended a first time festival that is now in its 21st year. That is Bonnaroo in Manchester, Tennessee. 70,000 people. 2002, had just graduated high school. Somehow our parents agreed to let about 10 of us in two vehicles drive 8 hours outside of Nashville. And literally it was, I don't want to say it was a free for all, because there was a lot of structure and it wasn't the type of scene that would have been appropriate to have riots or reactions like happened at Woodstock 99. But I have that firsthand experience. I can tell you with the utmost certainty that the sequence in Woodstock 99, when they are talking about how disgusting the porta potties were, I will burned into my memory, and I'm not trying to be gross, but burned into my memory from the Saturday morning at Bonnaroo, was opening a porta potty door and not understanding how things could be so elevated outside of the toilet, and then minutes later seeing the machine that was coming through to empty out the porta potty. So yes, festivals.
I'm not a festival guy. I've been to one or two
in my life. I don't think I would ever go again. But I'm glad that I did.
I've been to Summerfest in Milwaukee a couple of times. And then what's the other one that was in Grant Park? Was it
Lollapalooza? Yeah. Is in Chicago.
Yeah, that's the other one that I've been to.
I have not gone to that. But no, I just thought it was interesting. I feel like maybe we're better off like ranking our top three.
I'm in.
From the month versus me trying to make the case for all the winners that we've had. Because if we're going nostalgia versus nostalgia, you could absolutely put Fear Street 94 right up against Woodstock 99. And I would argue that Fear Street better made, even though it's a feature versus a documentary, blah, blah, blah. But if you want to go 3-2-1, I mean, I think I know what your one is.
Yeah,
but
maybe Woodstock 99 is my one. It might be my one at the end of the year. Like, it's going to take a lot. It was that impactful to me. And if you have HBO or HBO Max and you haven't seen it, go see it or watch it.
I would go, if we're going to go one for one, I would go Fear Street Part 1, 94. And then my two, if I may, would be, I feel like, because I just finished it, How to Become a Tyrant is really good. You were right. It's very well done.
White Lotus is my number two.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
I'm looking forward to it every Sunday. It's my dog whistle. It's the quirky, dark comedy. It's everything I want in prestige television.
It's very good. You're not wrong. I'm happy that I got my wife to watch it.
That's surprising.
I thought Black Widow would have been seated higher for you.
I really liked Black Widow, and it's probably 3 on the list. I know there's not much left on the list, but if Woodstock 99 hadn't come along, I was going to bang the drum pretty hard for White Lotus to win the month. That's where I was going.
Well, I tell you what, I feel like because of the recent release of this Woodstock 99, the thing that I think, as I make the case for Joel, the thing that I think Woodstock 99 has going for it is the majority of the artists that were there are still alive, are still performing, and this is going to have a larger ripple effect than Fear Street, the series, big cannonball into the pool. You got 3 weeks, 3 movies. They just put out like a fun blooper reel this week. They're talking about maybe this like R.L. Stine universe. However, if you're looking at this like, what are people going to talk about in that ripple effect 3 to 4 weeks from now, Woodstock 99 is still probably riding those ripples and reaching more people. And a lot of that is because, Joel, there were, 400,000 people at Woodstock 99?
It's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
I love listening to the artists
talk about their experiences, too. Like Jonathan Davis from Korn, just listening to him talk about blacking out and then needing to get... Now, I was not a Korn fan, but there's something about Korn.
Not a Korn guy.
No. You would have never caught me wearing, you know, the big JNCO jeans or whatever the people wore, like, and the dreads and all of those things. But if it was 6 o'clock on a Friday night and I have my Sony Discman ready to go before I'm about ready to go out and bang my head against an offensive line for the next 3 hours, Freak on a Leash was playing, Faith by Limp Bizkit, Enter Sandman. I'm just saying that was the soundtrack of the I want to go bash some Davenport Assumption kid's head in for the next 3 hours. That's what I had. And then the minute I got into the locker room afterwards, then I was throwing on Weezer and I was calming down and, you know, maybe listening to the Forrest Gump soundtrack in my Jeep on the tape deck on the way home, or the Music Man. I had the Music Man and all that stuff and that same thing too. So, I mean, but music was always on, and I think that's one of the things that drew me in so much by this documentary, is because that music was important, whether it was likable or not. This is a totally personal taste, but I wasn't the Nirvana generation. Like, my older cousins all were in that grunge generation, but I was in fourth grade, fifth grade. Sure. I had no control over the music I was purchasing at that point in my life, because we didn't have Napster or, you know, iTunes. It was, Mom, I want to go to the record store. And my mom's like, oh, wait, that has a P parental guidance sticker on it? Hell no, you're not getting that.
But by the time... I was just going to say, my mom was not thrilled when I would... Because I enjoyed, back in the day, Devil Without a Cause, Kid Rock's album that came out.
Kid Rock was a phenomenon. Whether you agree with him now or whatever, it doesn't matter. He was a phenomenon. Like, everyone liked Kid Rock.
Dave Holmes' commentary on the DJ, which was, of course, what's his name? Kid Rock's DJ, right? Has gone on to have his own success. I can't think of his name now. What was his
Uncle
name?
Uncle Cracker.
Thank you, Uncle Cracker.
Is that who it was? So, I'm guessing.
That's Uncle Cracker was at Woodstock. So, like, yeah, I mean, Kid Rock, I don't listen to Kid Rock now, and I haven't, as much as I have an affinity for nostalgia, like, I haven't sought out Siri or Alexa to play that. But yeah, back in the day, for sure, I was riding with Kid Rock.
Follow
I also, my friends
me,
and I.
Everything is all right. That's Uncle Cracker right there.
We also loved DMX.
Oh holy gosh. Moly. That moment in this documentary is when he.
I was not expecting that to be
how amazing
the
was that?
DMX performance that they.
But yeah, I think that was important. Yeah. I loved DMX Tariq.
Like on top of the world.
I loved having Tariq from the Roots on. I mean, just the people that we heard from in the documentary is why I keep coming back to it. Like, it was.
Yeah. I wish I knew that, like, and I guess it's our podcast, we can do whatever we want, but like, I wish I knew that it was okay to just say, hey, I'm just gonna throw in this documentary, because I would have, and I should have, shame on me. Speaking of music documentaries, another one that's worth checking out on Hulu is Questlove's Summer of Soul.
It's really good. It's really good.
Really, really, really good. And I'm, again,
this whole music worth box, checking out. The whole Music Box series that is coming out on HBO with The Ringer, I'm intrigued by now. I mean, Bill Simmons, those guys executive producing it, he's 30 for 30. I mean, that's what those guys do, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, his Andre the Giant, listen, his Andre the Giant documentary was really well done. There's no denying that they do good work. I just don't know how I personally feel about, like, and I could be reading way too much into this, I don't know, but is Woodstock 99 worth checking out? Absolutely. Unless you hate Limp Bizkit and Creed. And there's a lot of people, Joel, that do.
Oh, like, yeah. But I think, man, the reason they do is because it personifies a part of their life that maybe they're embarrassed to admit.
But I'm saying, like, back in the day, like, I had friends that were like, that is garbage. Like, that is garbage. It is sellout. I mean, let me put it to you this way. Like, the friends that went to the Fish show in October of 99 at the Rosemont Horizon in Rosemont, Illinois, outside Chicago, would have been caught dead listening to Kid Rock, Limp Bizkit. No way. They would have never, ever.
The upper middle class white kids in Muscatine, Iowa, that's all we listen to in our Chevy Luminas and Jeeps.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that I didn't.
Pontiac Grand Ams. Yeah. With the 15-inch kickers.
Oh, boy. Well, I think as we...
I think the winner is 90s nostalgia for the month of July.
Yeah, you really can't go... Honestly, I'm good with that. You cannot go wrong with 90s nostalgia. But Woodstock 99 is certainly worth checking out, along with Fear Street Part 1, 1994 on Netflix.
Let's take a break.
Okay, friends, we're back with the buffer. Want to remind you, encourage you, ask you, please, can you give us a rate and a review and a subscribe on all the places you get your podcasts. My wife just sent this to me, and I don't know if you can see it.
I can see it. It's visual. It's an audio medium, though.
I know. It's a picture from I'm so bad at remembering the names of movies tonight. What's the Justin Timberlake movie that I like?
Palmer.
It's on Apple Plus. Palmer, thank you. It's a picture of the actress from 101 Dalmatians, whose name I'm also not remembering.
Emma and Stone? Others.
Not Emma Stone.
101 Dalmatians.
Glenn Close.
Glenn Close. Jeez. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, Glenn
Norma
Close.
Norma Desmond, man. Sunset Boulevard, Tony Award nominated.
Anyways, this says is 9 p.m. good for you, and it's Glenn Close. It's a meme, and it's very funny because we're old, and 9 p.m. is very late. All right, I'm going to be brief. We've got limited time this evening, friends, but please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Word. Wherever you get your podcast, we would appreciate it. The Buffer Guilty Pleasures. I would like to start, if that's okay with you, because I want to keep building on this 90s nostalgia party. May I?
Yeah, have at it.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, I took the time to say my guilty pleasure was listening to the new Counting Crows album, which is still very good, and I still continue to listen to it. But Joel,
the Woodstock 99 bill, Counting Crows.
Which I did not realize that they were. Man, so my guilty pleasure for this week is my Apple Music and the Tony station. So Apple Music, like Spotify and other streaming companies, they are keeping tabs on what you're listening to, what you're summoning your device to play. And then sometimes you can just go to play your own station. And this week, and this is prior to me watching Woodstock, but it was just going right down 90th Street. So many fun tunes. And then I had a Facebook memory pop up today from 13 years ago when I had recorded and posted a video of the band Fastball.
Oh, yeah.
It was playing in the district of Rock Island. So my guilty pleasure is not being ashamed to blasting
is
my Apple
way,
Music
is the,
station.
Is The Way their big song?
Where were they going without ever knowing The Way? Yes. And they had another one. And the one
that
I videotaped.
The roads that they walk on are paved in gold.
That's right. It's always sunny. It never gets cold.
I don't know. Can we?
It's always summer. It never gets cold.
If we do it William Shatner style, are we allowed to? Do we have to pay any royalties if we just recite it?
Amount of seconds or
Rocket Man.
Apple Music streaming my station. Not patting myself on the back. It's just it's the algorithm. It's spying on us. But I'm enjoying it for sure. What do you got?
For me, my guilty pleasure is a movie that I discovered it again. I've watched it probably once or twice a year since it came out. I think I owned it on VHS and then I owned it on DVD.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because I am a sucker for war and.
What is it good for?
Nuclear weapons. Absolutely nothing. This is not an Edwin Starr prop, but maybe he's actually on the soundtrack. I don't know. I can't remember. But a Tony Scott movie. Features a couple actors you may have heard of, Gene Hackman, a young Denzel Washington, and let's go under the sea, and let's rock some Crimson Tide. I love the movie Crimson Tide. I will watch it anytime I can take the time when I need something to just get me going, whenever I find myself in an insomniac mode, I think it's on Amazon Prime. I think that's where I watched it. I just type into the Apple TV. I just type in Crimson Tide, and it just shows me where it's available, and it just pulls it up. So that is a guilty pleasure. I don't know what it is about that movie, but I just love Crimson Tide, and I concur. I say that all the time, and I totally stole that from that movie. Because when they're getting the launch codes and they're verifying and authenticating the message, I concur. It's just the whole thing. And Gene Hackman's just awesome. Like even when he's being an absolute tyrant, he's just awesome. And Denzel's one of the few guys who can kind of go toe to toe with him, I think, in that situation.
I don't want to step on the buffer confessions.
No, you.
But
you
can't. I've seen 65-75% of Crimson Tide.
What
I just Googled it, and I feel like it's maybe closer to 76%.
Oh my gosh, you've got to watch it.
But I feel like I.
No, don't say. I feel like I've seen it. It's like every other submarine movie.
Can I ask? Does Gene Hackman yell at Denzel Washington? Because then I think
all
I've
I'm
seen
gonna
it.
Say is that if you can't hear the reference to Lipizzaner Stallions and not think of Crimson Tide, you've not seen it. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, you said it. listen, this is another case of you're a little tiny bit older than me. This came out in 95. I was 11, about to turn 12. So I didn't come upon Crimson Tide until later, if I even got through it all.
We should go to the confessional since you're already kind of there.
Okay.
Confessions.
I still like Denzel. I'm going to let you start because I'm not going to do Crimson Tide, although I will put it on my things to watch. But it's tough when we're doing this podcast and we have these confessions and we have these recommendations and sometimes they're older things. And then I go to watch them and then I think, like, am I neglecting the new stuff that's more relevant for the show? But there's so much new stuff. And then what if the new stuff is bad? Then you're like, you know, Crimson Tide is going to be good. So you're right. All right. What's the confession for you, sir?
So my confession is... I've only seen Star Trek 4. Of all of the Star Trek movies, that's the only one I've seen. So I was thinking,
does that include the new remakes?
Yeah, I've maybe seen parts of. I know there's one that has Benedict Cumberbatch in it.
Chris Pine.
Yeah, I know they're in it, but yeah, I've seen the one where they go to the United States or they go to Earth and they beam the whales back onto the ship, and that's That's the only one I've seen that I can remember seeing. Maybe my brother will listen to tell me. So, no, we went and saw Wrath of Khan in the theater. But I don't remember that.
I think that the Star Trek Beyond, I don't feel like people love that one. If anything, I think it was.
But I watched every episode of Star Trek Next Generation. Like, I was all on the Jean-Luc Picard train. It was just something about the movies. I just never really got into them. Never saw them.
Yeah, and I'm not going to sit here and try and be like the aficionado, but I did definitely see the Star Trek in 09 and then Star Trek Beyond, which came out in 2016. I feel like that was just universally panned. That being said, like, where we're doing the podcast, we are, Joel, but we're 15 minutes away from the future birthplace of Captain James P. Kirk in Riverside, Iowa.
We can go see the we're within a 20-minute drive of they have a nice Starship Enterprise on the playground in Riverside. They have I've been there.
Have you gone to the marking?
100%. Because that's just what you do in the 80s in Iowa.
Right.
Just like you went to the Field of Dreams. Did you? Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask you about the Major League Stadium. How's that looking?
So it looks good.
Probably couldn't get too close to it, could you?
We could not. It was interesting. You know, the Field of Dreams in Dyersville, Iowa has changed owners within the last 5 years, and it's been a while since I've been there. I didn't realize that, like, there's someone at the gate, so to speak, and that it's signed pretty suggestively for a $20 per car donation. I had $7 in cash because it's 2021, and then we realized very quickly that not a lot of other vehicles were making the said donation. The Major League Baseball Stadium, White Sox playing the Yankees, it looks cool. I think it'll be fun. I've heard that the tickets are going to be $800 to $1,000 each.
I signed up for the lottery. They're giving away some tickets. Or maybe, no, that's just sure? No, yeah, you're right. No, that's the lottery to be able to buy in. But if I won the lottery, my father is a diehard Yankee fan, so I'm pretty sure he could maybe pay for the tickets if he wanted to.
I wouldn't listen. If I could go and not pay, I would, which is dumb. But I like $800 to $1,000 is crazy. But yeah, it looks good and it'll be good. My confession this week is continuing along the line of movies that I keep lying to my wife that I've seen so that we don't need to rewatch it again. And sometimes she will get on a kick where it's either like a rom-com that's a little older, but then sometimes I don't know, and I don't know if it's just like seeing a video on TikTok that is pulling audio from it, but anyways, I'm here to tell you guys and girls in the confessional, and please don't pass this along to the missus, but this guy,
your wife doesn't listen.
No,
neither does mine, so it's all good.
They're too busy. A Star Is Born,
the Bradley Cooper Lady Gaga version.
Somehow we didn't see it in theaters, and it's been on in my house.
It's great.
And I've been present at least 2 to 3 times. So I don't know if I just did a good enough job for a little while, like faking, like, I don't know. I just I think I also had heard how it ended, and I was like, I don't know if I want to be depressed.
So that means you've not seen the Kris Kristofferson, Barbara Streisand version either.
No.
Or the Judy Garland version? This is the third time.
I know that they're all well made and well done and well acted and blah, 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 but like, sometimes I don't want to be depressed. I don't always need a happy ending. But like, Bradley Cooper's character dies, right? Like,
why are you not saying spoiler alert?
In a not good way. So don't know.
Well, again, if you've been living under a rock, if you don't know how Star Is Born ends, close your ears. He kills himself. Yeah. He hangs himself.
See, and I don't know if
Kris Kristofferson kills himself in the movie, and it's just what it is. That's the story. That's what happens. Kurt Cobain killed himself, you know?
I just don't
want to. Chris Cornell maybe killed himself. I know there's some conspiracy theories about that. Is that a QAnon thing?
I just don't know if, I don't know. I just don't know if I want to be more sad about things that I can control watching or not. But that's just me.
Lady Gaga is actually a phenomenal actress.
Yeah.
I was listening to the rewatchables today about
Lady Gaga.
The Bodyguard. That was the rewatchables for this week. And they were talking about Whitney Houston and I was thinking, like, you know, they were talking about other movies with, like, singers and actors like Cher and Moonlight or Moonstruck. Lady Gaga can act. Like, she doesn't have to be a musician actor. Like, she could just be an actor if she wanted to be, and she was good at
it. Yeah, she's got chops. No doubt.
Well, when you go to the performing arts high school that the movie Fame is based off of, you kind of get your all of your skills are developed. Just put it that way. That sounded really like I was making a euphemism, and I'm not. I'm just saying it's a well-rounded arts education.
We've got 4.5 minutes. Let me get some slappy pappy if I may.
Slappy pappy, wait.
Dress socks and Crocs.
These are moments in life that
face you just gave me was uncomfortable.
We discuss. I'll be honest. I was looking at the outline. I don't know what face happened. Was it this one?
No, it was like I don't know. It's like you were muting a fart.
Oh, not yet. Give it time. I'm going to go quick because we've got 4 minutes, everybody, before the clock runs out on this syndicated podcast network. My air conditioning in my house hasn't worked. Well, it's working now, but we had almost 4 days without air conditioning, and it's been a nightmare. I don't want to get into all the details, but home warranty, struggle. It's fixed. It's working. But this is also, as Joel indicated at the start of the show, been the hottest week so far of the year in Iowa. And then, of course, we have 3 kids and 2 animals, and it's not been fun. So I'm looking forward to continuing to have functioning air conditioning, and I'm thankful that I'm able to have that. But it's been a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I can. I offered, like, you guys could have come in our basements. Big, and you guys could have camped out down here. We got 2 bedrooms, and
I should say that
the fact that you've got the 2 units is nice. So you had part of your house that was still functioning.
Yeah, the bedroom
in your modest footprint.
Thank you. The bedrooms upstairs in our castle were fine. The moat was a little sweaty.
Do you remember when Tom Brady and Giselle have built a house that had a moat? That was a real thing.
So awesome. Yeah. I love it.
I just want to be able to build a moat someday. My dress socks and Crocs it's a big week in our household. My wife is a tremendous childcare provider. She's run a daycare business out of our house for the last 8 years, and she's going back into education. She got her old teaching job back, and so this is her last week of her business, and it's, you know, bittersweet because she's built some great relationships with families and whatnot, but it was the best thing for our family just to kind of get our lives back. But so that last day is, you know, you're listening to this probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday was the last day. So we're having a garage sale. I hate garage sales. They're my least favorite thing in the world because they're so much damn work, and the profit margins aren't what I would like them to be. But great, it's money, fine, whatever. But we are living that garage sale dream right now, and you can see behind me there's stuff all over the place. I sent you a picture of what our garage looks like, and it's only a third of the stuff. I'm getting a 20 by 20 tent to cover our driveway so that people can either shop in the shade, or if it happens to rain, we're covered. Like, it's just, it's a big to do, and I cannot wait till it's over. And our reward is next week our kids are gonna go spend a week with their grandparents, so we can just kind of decompress and have a week to ourselves, which we haven't had for a long, long time. So I'm looking forward to getting through this weekend. And
how many parents would just love a break like that? That's, you know, so awesome.
And we get it every summer. I'll be honest, my in-laws, they pick our kids up every year and take them for a week. It used to be my wife went too, so I got like bachelor week. So that was amazing. But yeah,
it's
no,
so great.
But the garage sale is going to be done, and of course it's 108 degrees, and I need to shower after picking everything up in the garage.
I wish that I could have somebody come in and like do all the pricing of the stuff, because that's where I would get finicky about not wanting to let go or to sell things too cheaply. But I'm with you. I don't love the idea of ever putting together a garage sale, but I'm also a greedy old man, so I may have to consider.
Well, I think what I'm looking forward to, and we've got a little bit more time. I saw the ticker, but I'm looking at my other clock. We're good. I'm at that stage in my life where I don't care if we just give it away at this point. Like, it's left my house. It's in my garage. It's going to be in my driveway. It's not coming back in. So anything that doesn't sell, we're loading it up in a truck and we're going to donate it to either like the Salvation Army or whatever, because we're done. We're done with it. It's left our house literally, and it's not coming back.
I love it. I hope it's successful. And just like your late addition to the Buffer podcast this week was successful, that is Woodstock 99, Peace, Love, and Rage, your winner for the month of July. The good news is for us here at the Buffer podcast, the content continues to just be hot and fresh and so different and good. I mean, there's a lot of really good things coming down the pike.
I gotta say, shout out to Ben Nitzel, our local movie reviewer for the Discover Muscatine newspaper. He's telling me that we gotta watch the new He-Man Revelation cartoon on Netflix. He said it's solid. Like, it's not like Ben opposite to make a recommendation like that. So maybe we should check that out.
But I'm also not opposed to checking it out.
Hey,
I love it.
You have the power.
That's right.
We're done. That's amazing.
Okay, friends, we're back with the Buffer. Want to remind you, encourage you, ask you, please, can you give us a rate and a review and a subscribe on all the places you get your podcast? My wife just sent this to me, and I don't know if you can see it.
I can see it. It's visual. It's an audio medium, though.
I know. It's a picture from I'm so bad at remembering the names of movies tonight. What's the Justin Timberlake movie that I like?
Palmer.
It's on Apple Plus. Palmer, thank you. It's a picture of the actress from 101 Dalmatians, whose name I'm also not remembering.
Emma and Stone? Others.
Not Emma Stone.
No, 101 Dalmatians. Glenn Close. Yeah, sorry,
Glenn
Norma
Close.
Norma Desmond, man. Sunset Boulevard, Tony Award nominated.
Anyways, this says is 9 p.m. good for you, and it's Glenn Close. It's a meme, and it's very funny because we're old, and 9 p.m. is very late. All right, I'm going to be brief. We've got limited time this evening, friends, but please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Word. Wherever you get your podcast, we would appreciate it. The Buffer Guilty Pleasures. I would like to start, if that's okay with you, because I want to keep building on this 90s nostalgia party. May I?
Yeah, have at it.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, I took the time to say my guilty pleasure was listening to the new Counting Crows album, which is still very good, and I still continue to listen to it. But Joel,
the Woodstock 99 bill, Counting Crows.
Which I did not realize that they were. Man, so my guilty pleasure for this week is my Apple Music and the Tony station. So Apple Music, like Spotify and other streaming companies, they are keeping tabs on what you're listening to, what you're summoning your device to play. And then sometimes you can just go to play your own station. And this week, and this is prior to me watching Woodstock, but it was just going right down 90s Street. So many fun tunes. And then I had a Facebook memory pop up today from 13 years ago when I had recorded and posted a video of the band Fastball.
Oh, yeah.
It was playing in the district of Rock Island. So my guilty pleasure is not being ashamed to blasting
is
my
that the
Apple
way,
Music
is that,
station.
Is The Way their big song?
Where were they going without ever knowing the way? Yes, and they had another one. And the one
that
I videotaped.
They walk on a paving gold.
That's right. It's always sunny. It never gets cold.
I don't know.
Always summer. It never gets cold.
If we do it William Shatner style, are we allowed to? Do we have to pay any royalties if we just
recite amount of
it?
Seconds or
Rocket Man?
Apple Music streaming my station. Not patting myself on the back. It's just the algorithm. It's spying on us. But I'm enjoying it for sure. What do you got?
for me, my guilty pleasure is a movie that I discovered it again. I've watched it probably once or twice a year since it came out. I think I owned it on VHS and then I owned it on DVD.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because I am a sucker for war and...
What is it good for?
Nuclear weapons. Absolutely nothing. Huh. Now, this is not an Edwin Starr prop, but maybe he's actually on the soundtrack. I don't know. I can't remember. But a Tony Scott movie... features a couple actors you may have heard of, Gene Hackman, a young Denzel Washington, and let's go under the sea and let's rock some Crimson Tide. I love the movie Crimson Tide. I will watch it anytime I can take the time when I need something to just get me going, whenever I find myself in an insomniac mode, I think it's on Amazon Prime. I think that's where I watched it. I just type into the Apple TV. I just type in Crimson Tide, and it just shows me where it's available, and it just pulls it up. So that is a guilty pleasure. I don't know what it is about that movie, but I just love Crimson Tide, and I concur. I say that all the time, and I totally stole that from that movie, because when they're getting the launch codes and they're verifying and authenticating the message, I concur. It's just the whole thing. And Gene Hackman's just awesome. Like, even when he's being an absolute tyrant, he's just awesome. And Denzel's one of the few guys who can kind of go toe-to-toe with him, I think, in that situation.
I don't want to step on the buffer confessions.
No, you. But you can't.
I've seen 65-75% of Crimson Tide. What I just googled it, and I feel like it's maybe closer to 76%.
Oh my gosh, you've got to watch it.
But I feel like I.
No, don't say. I feel like I've seen it. It's like every other submarine movie.
Can I ask? Does Gene Hackman yell at Denzel Washington? Because then I think
all
I've
I'm gonna say is that if you can't hear the reference to Lippin's Honor Stallions and not think of Crimson Tide, you've not seen it. That's all I'm gonna say.
Hey, you said it. Listen, this is another case of you're a little tiny bit older than me. This came out in 95. I was 11, about to turn 12. So I didn't come upon Crimson Tide until later, if I even got through it all.
We should go to the confessional since you're already kind of there.
Okay. I still like Denzel. I'm going to let you start because I'm not going to do Crimson Tide, although I will put it on my things to watch. But it's tough when we're doing this podcast and we have these confessions and we have these recommendations, and sometimes they're older things. And then I go to watch them and then I think, like, am I neglecting the new stuff that's more relevant for the show? But there's so much new stuff. And then what if the new stuff is bad? Then you're like, you know, Crimson Tide is going to be good. So... you're right. All right. What's the confession for you, sir?
So my confession is I've only seen Star Trek 4. Of all of the Star Trek movies, that's the only one I've seen. So I was thinking,
does that include the new remakes?
Yeah. I've maybe seen parts of, I know there's one that has Benedict Cumberbatch in it.
Chris Pine.
Yeah, I know they're in it, but yeah, I've seen the one where they go to the United States, or they go to Earth, and they beam the whales back onto the ship, and that's the only one I've seen that I can remember seeing. It. Maybe my brother will listen to tell me. So, no, we went and saw Wrath of Khan in the theater, but I don't remember that.
I think that the Star Trek Beyond, I don't feel like people love that one. If anything, I think it was.
But I watched every episode of Star Trek Next Generation. Like, I was all on the Jean-Luc Picard train. It was just something about the movies. I just never really got into them. Never saw them.
Yeah, and I'm not going to sit here and try and be like the aficionado, but I did definitely see the Star Trek in 09 and then Star Trek Beyond, which came out in 2016. I feel like that was just universally panned. That being said, like, where we're doing the podcast, we are, Joel, but what, we're 15 minutes away from the future birthplace of Captain James P. Kirk in Riverside, Iowa.
We can go see the, we're within a 20-minute drive of, they have a nice Starship Enterprise on the playground in Riverside. They have, I've been there.
Have you gone to the marking?
100%. Because that's just what you do in the 80s in Iowa.
Right.
Just like you went to the Field of Dreams. Did you? I wanted to ask you about the Major League Stadium. How's that looking?
So it looks good.
Probably couldn't get too close to it, could you?
We could not. It was interesting. You know, the Field of Dreams in Dyersville, Iowa has changed owners within the last 5 years, and it's been a while since I've been there. I didn't realize that, like, there's someone at the gate, so to speak, and that there's, it's signed pretty suggestively for a $20 per car donation. I had $7 in cash because it's 2021, and then we realized very quickly that not a lot of other vehicles were making the said donation. The Major League Baseball Stadium, White Sox playing the Yankees, it looks cool. I think it'll be fun. I've heard that the tickets are going to be $800 to $1,000 each.
I signed up for the lottery. They're giving away some tickets. Or maybe, no, that's just the lottery. No, yeah, you're right. No, that's the lottery to be able to buy in. But if I won the lottery, my father is a diehard Yankee fan, so I'm pretty sure he could maybe pay for the tickets if he wanted to.
I wouldn't listen. If I could go and not pay, I would, which is dumb. But I like $800 to $1,000 is crazy. But yeah, it looks good and it'll be good. My confession this week is continuing along the line of movies that I keep lying to my wife that I've seen so that we don't need to rewatch it again. And sometimes she will get on a kick where it's either like a rom-com that's a little older, but then sometimes she'll, I don't know, and I don't know if it's just like seeing a video on TikTok that is pulling audio from it, but anyways, I'm here to tell you guys and girls in the confessional, and please don't pass this along to the missus, but this guy,
your wife doesn't listen.
No.
Neither does mine, so it's all good.
It's too busy. A Star Is Born.
The Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga version?
Somehow we didn't see it in theaters, and it's been on in my house.
It's great.
And I've been present at least 2 to 3 times. So I don't know if I just did a good enough job for a little while, like faking, like, I don't know. I just... I think I also had heard how it ended, and I was like, I don't know if I want to be depressed.
So that means you've not seen the Kris Kristofferson, Barbara Streisand version either.
No.
Or the Judy Garland version?
This is the third time. I know that they're all well made and well done and well acted and blah, 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 but like sometimes I don't want to be depressed. I don't always need a happy ending. But like Bradley Cooper's character dies, right? Like,
why are you not saying spoiler alert?
In a not good way. So like I just don't know.
Well, again, if you've been living under a rock, if you don't know how Star Is Born ends, close your ears. He kills himself. Yeah. He hangs himself.
See, and I don't know if
Kris Kristofferson kills himself in the movie, and it's just what it is. That's the story. That's what happens. Kurt Cobain killed himself, you know?
I just don't
want to. Chris Cornell maybe killed himself. I know there's some conspiracy theories about that. Is that a QAnon thing?
I just don't know. I don't know. I just don't know if I want to be more sad about things that I can control watching or not. But that's just me.
Lady Gaga is actually a phenomenal actress.
Yeah.
I was listening to the Rewatchables today about
Lady Gaga.
The Bodyguard. That was the Rewatchables for this week. And they were talking about Whitney Houston. And I was thinking, like, you know, they were talking about other movies with, like, singers and actors, like Cher and Moonlighting or Moonstruck. Lady Gaga can act. Like, she doesn't have to be a musician actor. Like, she could just be an actor if she wanted to be, and she was good at it.
Yeah, she's got chops. No doubt.
Well, when you go to the performing arts high school that the movie Fame is based off of, you kind of get your your thing, all of your skills are developed. Just put it that way. That sounded really all like right. I was making a euphemism, and I'm not. I'm just saying it's a well-rounded arts education.
We've got 4.5 minutes. Let me get some slappy pappy if I may.
Slappy pappy.
Dress socks and Crocs.
These are moments in life that
face you just gave me was uncomfortable.
We discuss. I'll be honest. I was looking at the outline. I don't know what face happened. Was it this one?
No, it was like a, I don't know. It's like you're muting a fart.
Oh, not yet. Give it time. I'm going to go quick because we've got 4 minutes, everybody, before the clock runs out on this syndicated podcast network. My air conditioning in my house hasn't worked. Well, it's working now, but we had almost 4 days without air conditioning, and it's been a nightmare. I don't want to get into all the details, but home warranty, struggle. It's fixed. It's working. But this is also, as Joel indicated at the start of the show, been the hottest week so far of the year in Iowa. And then, of course, we have 3 kids and 2 animals, and it's not been fun. So I'm looking forward to continuing to have functioning air conditioning, and I'm thankful that I'm able to have that. But it's been a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I can. I offered, like, you guys could have come in our basements. Big, and you guys could have camped out down here. We got 2 bedrooms, and
I should say that
the fact that you've got the 2 units is nice. So you had part of your house that was still functioning.
Yeah, the bedroom
in your modest footprint.
Thank you. The bedrooms upstairs in our castle were fine. The moat was a little sweaty.
Do you remember when Tom Brady and Giselle built a house that had a moat? That was a real thing.
So awesome. Yeah. I love it.
I just want to be able to build a moat someday. My dress socks and Crocs is, it's a big week in our household. My wife is a tremendous childcare provider. She's run a daycare business out of our house for the last 8 years, and she's going back into education. She got her old teaching job back, and so this is her last week of her business, and it's, you know, bittersweet because she's built some great relationships with families and whatnot, but it was the best thing for our family just to kind of get our lives back. But so that last day is, you know, you're listening to this probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday was the last day. So we're having a garage sale. I hate garage sales. They're my least favorite thing in the world because they're so much damn work, and the profit margins aren't what I would like them to be, but great. It's money, fine, whatever. But we are living that garage sale dream right now, and you can see behind me there's stuff all over the place. I sent you a picture of what our garage looks like, and it's only a third of the stuff. I'm getting a 20 by 20 tent to cover our driveway so that people can either shop in the shade, or if it happens to rain, we're covered. Like, it's a big to do, and I cannot wait till it's over. And our reward is next week our kids are going to go spend a week with their grandparents, so we can just kind of decompress and have a week to ourselves, which we haven't had for a long, long time. So I'm looking forward to getting through this weekend. And
how many parents would just love a break like that? That's, you know, so awesome.
And we get it every summer. I'll be honest, my in-laws, they pick our kids up every year and take them for a week. It used to be my wife went too, so I got like bachelor week. So that was that was amazing.
It's so great.
But the garage sale is going to be done, and of course it's 108 degrees, and I need the shower after picking everything up in the garage.
I wish that I could have somebody come in and like do all the pricing of the stuff, because that's where I would get finicky about not wanting to let go or to sell things too cheaply. But I'm with you. I don't love the idea of ever putting together a garage sale, but I'm also a greedy old man, so I may have to consider.
Well, I think what I'm looking forward to, and we've got a little bit more time. I saw the ticker, but I'm looking at my other clock. We're good. I'm at that stage in my life where I don't care if we just give it away at this point. Like, it's left my house. It's in my garage. It's going to be in my driveway. It's not coming back in. So anything that doesn't sell, we're loading it up in a truck and we're going to donate it to either like the Salvation Army or whatever. Cause we're done. We're done with it. It's legit. Left our house literally, and it's not coming back.
I love it. I hope it's successful. And just like your late addition to the Buffer podcast this week was successful, that is Woodstock 99, Peace, Love, and Rage, your winner for the month of July. The good news is for us here at the Buffer podcast, the content continues to just be hot and fresh and so different and good. I mean, there's a lot of really good things coming down the pipe.
I got to say, shout out to Ben Nitzel, our local movie reviewer for the Discover Muscatine newspaper. He's telling me that we got to watch the new He-Man Revelation cartoon on Netflix. He said it's solid. Like, it's not like Ben's opposite to make a recommendation like that. So maybe we should check that out.
But I'm also not opposed to checking it out.
Hey,
I love it.
You have the power.
That's right.
We're done. That's amazing.